we do it like we do it.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gundelson and Lee Radswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to PCP Pop Culture. Oh my God, you know what happened this week? It was like I don't know how to put it because I don't know if I've talked about it enough. I know if you see my Twitter, you have how Home Alone 2 is basically like still my guiding path. Kevin McAllister is still the coolest person in the world. Like, yeah, the holiday movie for me. When I travel, especially alone, I still, even though I'm a grown man and checking into hotels, I still feel like I'm on a plane. I feel like I'm like, oh my God, like they're letting me check in. Like, oh my God, I'm home alone.
If you became the famous Jordan Ross Myers and you had to like check into hotels under a pseudonym, would you use Kevin McAllister as your pseudonym? There we go.
Well, El Puento is, he finally got the recognition he deserves. Macaulay Culkin, as I guess he prefers to be called in some circles. I call people by their characters. He got his star in the Walk of Fame this week.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
And as happens every time a celebrity of note is just now getting a star, people get so confused. They're like, well, why didn't he have one sooner? And we've talked about this on this before, just the process that goes into getting a star. You know, you have to be nominated, which that's actually a pretty not easy process, but you're a huge star and you do have to pay a fee, but usually the studio covers that. But like, it is shocking that Macaulay Culkin did not have a star, because he could have gotten a star after Home Alone alone. You know, like that was 10 years old, he could have gotten a star.
Maybe he had to wait a little bit too, be timing wise, I'm thinking, because he was a kid when he did it and the studio could have done it then. And then he's at a choir career. But now I think there's enough time to where you could call him a legend. Like, I mean, the role is iconic. We're what, 30 years out, and it's still like one of the most popular holiday movies in history. So I think now it's stood, his reputation, his career, his image has stood the test of time.
Well,
and so I think now,
except
it's more than a novelty.
There was some slander I saw on the X, on the Twitter this week, where I saw a lot of people in the replies saying, "How come?" They're being serious. This is just how I weep for the future. Is people were like, "How is a kid from one Christmas movie 30 years ago? Why does he get a star?" And I'm like, oh. The slander.
Two Christmas movies. The sequel is better.
A little movie called My Girl that anybody of our generation, you mention bees, you get a reaction. I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, but bees. Richie Rich, he had like a 5 years of bangers.
Yeah. Come on. And then his breakout turning into adult roles, Party Monster.
Yeah. Yes. Which is why I was very confused why Natasha Lyonne was giving a speech at this unveiling. I'm like, oh, they were in that movie together. And it delights me that they're really good friends. That makes me very happy.
You know what really warmed my
heart?
She's
delightful.
They went, he really leaned into it. He owns that. For the rest of his life, he is going to be Kevin McAllister. I don't like when stars who have a huge role turn their back on it and don't like it mentioned. Like, they at least acknowledge it. So he brought on to give the speech Catherine O'Hara, Mrs. McAllister, his mom, and her speech was Home Alone 2 themed, which this is so exciting for me. And you know, I'm usually dead inside. Like, she was like, thank you for including me here today as your fake mom who left you home on Christmas, not once, but twice. And like, they really, all I wanted her to do to end her speech was go grab her face and go, Kevin! She stopped short of that, but I thought it was cool.
It was also very funny that these same people, and not even all the same people that like didn't realize that he was a bigger star than just Home Alone, are the number of people that were just shocked by his voice because so many people just remember him as a kid. They don't remember as an adult. So there were entire Twitter threads being like, that's what he sounds like. And there were a lot of people are like, he sounds just like Kieran Culkin. Well, no shit. No shit he does. Yeah, technically, Kieran sounds just like Macaulay.
Right.
And slight fun fact, his wife was there and we were talking about her last week. Brenda Song, aka London Tipton from Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. So that was
seems delightful. I'm happy for them.
I wish I could have gone. That's one, like, I'm not into that stuff really, but that one, but it's good I didn't because I would have rushed the stage and been like, Kevin! Mm-hmm. Like the sticky bandit. I'd be the pigeon lady. I mean, all those characters. I love that movie. It's rare to see me get this excited about something so wholesome.
You know what? That's actually true.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, it is. All I need. Oh God, I can sometimes what I do when I'm in the airport is I do this whole thing. It really annoys like my friends and family. We'll be sitting at the gate and I'll start ruffling through my backpack. I'll be like, oh my God, wait, where's my wallet? Wait, my wallet was in my bag. Kevin had my bag. Kevin had my wallet. I do the whole scene from the airport in Home Alone 2, and it takes them a minute to realize. Yeah.
You've got dad jokes. I appreciate that. Going all in.
Yeah.
Gosh. You really missed your calling. You still got time to be a dad. So
to be an upper middle class 90s TV movie dad. That's pretty much my gauge. I judge all wealth by the Banks family and Fresh Prince.
Yep, as one should.
That's peak for me. Speaking of wealth and Bel Air and such, Balenciaga came to town this week.
Sure did.
Good God.
They did a fashion show in the middle of the street.
I mean, so you had obvious A-listers who were famous for their Balenciaga, like Kim Kardashian and all the Nicole Kidman was there. And then some like kitchen rat scurried past security and she hopped on a seat. Lisa Rinna was there. So
don't forget the belle of the ball was Miss Salma Hayek, whose husband is the CEO of the company that owns Balenciaga. So that's the biggest, that's the flex. That's the, Kim, that's cute. Yeah. Kim Kardashian, it's cute that you're here. My husband owns this fucking company.
Yeah, same company. Yeah. Salma Hayek's husband owns Balenciaga, Gucci, like they are rich. But they did. What did they do? It was like a collaboration with Erewhon.
They've done I saw it referred to in like the Hollywood Reporter art, or I think it was Hollywood Reporter, where they refer to Erewhon as the world's most expensive grocery store, which it probably is, but that is totally something that Erewhon would lean into. Like they want you to know that they're the world's most expensive grocery store. And I think they're only LA, right? They even go outside, maybe Orange County. I'm not sure, but I've only seen them like a couple in LA.
It's a very LA thing. Yeah. And the fact that they collaborated with them is funny because Balenciaga is known for like the Kardashian as of late. I mean, they're an older brand than that, but they're known. They made those outfits that Kanye dressed Kim in and that Kim wears and all that stuff. And then, so they had it in the middle of the street in LA or like Beverly Hills. And then they collaborated with the bougiest grocery store possible here on a cold pressed juice.
It is they made merch. There's Balenciaga by Erewhon merch that range for, it's like mugs and hoodies and hats, and they range from $425 to $1,200 because of course you want a grocery store's market, you know, branded on it. And yeah, they have their juice, which is the juice is apple, lemon, ginger, cinnamon, organic maple and charcoal. And if you see photos of it, it's the charcoal that stands out because it's jet black. It looks gross.
Tasty.
It reminds me of Real Housewives of New Jersey when the boys on the show started their black water business. And everybody was like, what? It's black water?
That went far, too.
That reminds me of Out of Africa when one of the guys is dying and he's like, my water's turned black. And I'm like, no.
I was surprised, though. I looked it up because now I'm kind of like, well, if I'm in the area, I won't. It's obviously going to be. I looked it up on social media. Anyone who could grab one of these Balenciaga Erewhon juices has, because it's total clickbait. I mean, it's just one of those trending TikTok IG things. But I was surprised it's only $14. It's limited.
That's less than the CMOS gel stuff that people drink.
Erewhon charges about almost $25 for a rotisserie chicken to give you a gauge compared to, say,
they charge $25 for a gallon of milk.
I was going to say that they have the smoothie bar where they're about 20, like $25 is their price basement. That is as low as that 14-ish, especially to combine with Balenciaga for 14. That's shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a bargain. Now it's almost like we have to do it. But
they have like $100 salads there. Mm-hmm. Like, no joke. Like, that CMOS shit, I think $46.
They got some good soups, though. They got some fire soups. They're mulligatawny. Good stuff. It's like $20, but it's good.
You miss it. You miss it. Why don't you come back here?
You know what? I was going to come back for your birthday, but I'm not anymore.
Well, you know, you should tell me about. There's still time.
That's true.
I still got one more spot.
I think it is a good gimmick, though, for Erewhon, because obviously this is now it's internationally known. Tourists are now going to flock. Like, say, mid-2000s, tourists would go to Kitson or Sprinkles Cupcakes. Now Erewhon is the place you're going to, like, be on Rodeo, and you're going to see tourists walking with an Erewhon shopping bag, and at $14, it makes it it's accessible and like a souvenir. I mean, I'm tempted now, and I don't like,
And you've got like what I know as like the original Erewhon, but I don't know if that really is the original Erewhon, but the one by the Grove on Beverly Boulevard. And so it's right next to CBS Television City. It's right next to the Grove. It's in a very like kind of one of the touristy areas of LA. And so it's very popular. People will definitely go to that. And then of course you've got great ones in Santa Monica and Venice and Palisades. And then you've got some in the Valley and stuff like that. But definitely.
The Beverly Hills one's a pretty nice scene.
Yeah. Scene is correct.
Yeah, that's what it's a scene. Hard to tell people apart because they're all very similarly dressed and Botoxed, and it's a vibe. Yep.
They've really expanded the last few years.
I was going to say, you know what? I was like, it's because Kris Jenner invested in them, but I'm wrong. That's Health Nut, the salad, you know, the salad it's a little storefront salad bar in Woodland Hills that the Kardashians have been famously eating those mixed salads you see in their kitchen like every episode. It's expanding around LA now, and it's because Kris Jenner actually bought a share of the company. It's so like that's identifiable with them.
They're good. I was teaching at a spin studio in Woodland Hills, like part-time. And so I would go, I would need to get something to eat. And so I found that place just by Googling it, but I didn't watch the Kardashians. So I didn't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And so I went to that place and then I was there a couple of times and then I mentioned it to somebody and they were like, oh, that's what's on the Kardashians. And I was like, what? Mm. And so, there was like, and there was one time and I was like, I think I was sitting there eating with my back just because there was a bunch of commotion. I think it was Chris coming in there and getting some food, but like not with cameras or anything like that. But it was just like, whatever. I don't care. I'll watch the show. But they're good salads. I liked them. And they're very nice too. Very nice people. Mm-hmm. So it was yummy. Anyway, I hope that they open up a Health Nut near me, either here in Hollywood or in Studio City. That would be awesome because I would eat a lot.
I think it's on their website. I'll have to look. stock
it. Look it up right
grand
now.
The grand opening gala.
As we move on to the like next topic, I'm going to look that up.
Brittany, speaking of momagers and parentagers and questionable family relationships, Brittany's back with Lynn Spears.
Woo! Yeah. Well, for, those two are like Kim and Croy. Let's check back in next week. Lynn's come out. How many times has Lynn come out to visit in like the last year? And everybody's like, "Oh, it's thawed. Their relationship's thawed." And then all of a sudden, well, let's be honest. Brittany seems kind of impulsive. She seems like she changes her mind quite often.
Her no stable legend.
But the reason that Lynn absolutely
stable legend. Stable legend. That's my new favorite. Yes.
The reason Lynn was in town is because Brittany celebrated a birthday this weekend. 42 years old, which if anybody of a certain age, I've used that term a lot this episode. She was 17 when Hit Me Baby One More Time came out. So we're old. I don't like it. But yeah, evidently she had some big blowout on her 42nd. It involved a trip to the ER for her dog, which, given that history, is always scary. And then ended with
happened to her dog.
Ended with our favorite, which is somebody, Brittany or somebody in her orbit, walking around a convenience store barefoot. Brought us back.
Who's her manager? Her manager, Kate? When TMZ posted the pictures of Brittany coming out of the gas station or whatever it was, the first thing I zoomed in on was her feet, because that's so iconically Brittany walking barefoot through a gas station or a convenience store in the middle of the night, looking kind of stressed. I mean, that's classic 2007 Brittany. But no, she had shoes on. Her manager did it. Cade.
It rubs off.
Yeah. That's cool, though. I mean, it's not like I'll be like, oh, I'm so glad they're starting a new page. Because like you said, every few months we think her and her family are reconciling. And then we log into Instagram and then we see some posts about how when Brittany was 7, Lynn stole her Cabbage Patch doll and fed it to the wolves. And now she... So who knows?
Well, Lynn also got some press even before people knew she was in town, because a few days before folks got her photos of her shopping at Dollar General, and people were kind of dragging her online for that. I don't know why. Dollar General's awesome.
You two still have not watched the John Oliver piece about Dollar
General. No, I did. I watched it. That's fine. I watched it. I'm not saying I shop there.
I prefer not to have my.
You just don't care.
I prefer not to have my bubble burst, so I like to live in my own little version of reality, and I like the candy selection for when I'm. It's great too. Those dollar kind of stores, like Dollar Tree, they have tons of candy, like all the kinds. Like, you know, like movie theater candy, all kinds. And it's like, you're not going to see anyone there you might know who's knowing that you're going home to eat like 4,000 calories worth of sugar under your covers and fall asleep, then wake up surrounded by wrappers and shame.
Is this a hypothetical or are we talking about somebody in particular?
It's not very, okay. Nothing I've ever done. No, nothing I do once in a while.
All of our Dollar Tree store employees who listen to this will be on the lookout for one of the three of us.
Jordan. Well, who buys what else is there? Putting it out there, fingers crossed, let's see. Maybe it should be a poll. Will Brittany and Lynn's reconciliation make it to Christmas, through Christmas, into the new year? I mean, it could be any time. By the time we finish recording, they could have had a blowout fight. You never know.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking they'll get through Christmas, but not through the new year.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction. That's what I'm going to put money on.
Same.
Well, there's another relationship to bet on, and that is the Golden Bachelor. Mm-hmm. That stuff. So I watched the first episode, and I went to like a viewing party at my friend's. It was a lot of fun. It was cute. But I haven't watched it since. No, I watched the second episode too, but then I haven't watched it since. But a Hollywood Reporter article came out about basically how Gary, spelled Jerry, which I have problems with. I have problems when your name is spelled one way and pronounced a completely different way. And it's not because you come from like a different language. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, no.
I'm going to start calling you Stacky.
Stacky, that's good.
No, you can't. Nope. I'm not going to go into this.
Oh, is that, I didn't know. I just was like trying to think of all the names I could obviously change.
Nope.
I won't trigger you. It's your birthday week.
That is triggering, yes. Don't take me back to middle school, please. No. So Gary, spelled Jerry, he basically is like every other bachelor we've ever had. And I'm not trying to say that necessarily in a mean way, because I don't think he's a bad person, but what this article showed is that this man, they're saying that he hasn't like, he's like, I haven't been on a date in 6 years since my wife died. Well, apparently that's bullshit. He's dated a couple of women. In fact, he had a like almost 2 year long relationship with one woman where she actually lived with him. Hmm. And so he's had relationships, and it's somewhat of a, how much is this of him, you know, whitewashing his past? How much is this of ABC whitewashing his past? And not really whitewashing, but just kind of making him seem more perfect than he really is.
I think it's he certainly could have hidden some of this stuff. They do pretty, see, the thing is every so often they get caught with a bachelorette or a not usually the main, but like somebody else on the show has like something horrible in their past. It ends up getting released. But otherwise, they do pretty intense background checks. So it's almost like they probably knew a good deal of it and were kind of shaping the narrative. And then if they get busted, if something comes out, then it's more press for them. Like that's like a few years ago, there was that, I think it was on The Bachelor, and one of the women, one of the final women, I think, like some super racist stuff from like her college years came out. And like, like, how did ABC not see this? And it's like, well, maybe they did, and this is good for ratings. But yeah, they totally, you know, they built this Gary Jerry, like he was this sweet 72-year-old widower. Well, like you said, yeah, said he hadn't had a date, and I mean, his wife passed away, I don't know how long ago. But yeah, it turned out he had been in several relationships, and evidently not only in several relationships, this one woman he lived with, he treated her terribly. Like the whole facade, like he would, when they moved in as a relationship moved in, he immediately said, we're going, you know, we're splitting all bills and things, which that's fine, whatever. But then he would, part of like this, I guess, toxic masculinity, he would split dinners with her when they went out to restaurants, but she would have to basically pay her half secretly so that when the server brought the bill, he was seen paying for the whole thing, even though she had already paid her half. So, and she's like, she basically admitted he just wanted to be the man about it. So I paid secretly and then he made a show of paying the whole thing. And then he basically, the reason he broke up with this woman is because it was time for his high school reunion and he thought she had gained a little bit of weight. So he said, I'm not taking you to the reunion until you lose 10 pounds. And that was the end of
this guy sounds like a catch.
Oh, no.
Do we even know if his wife passed?
Oh, God. I hope so.
Yes.
I mean, like, I hate, okay, I hate saying God, I hope mean, so. But God, I hope that's true. And then he also lied that, like, the whole show has built him up to be a retired restaurateur, which technically is true. In that he owned a franchise of drive-in restaurants in the 80s called, I think it was Mr. Quick. It was like a burger place. And he owned those like up until like 1985. So technically that is a restaurateur, I suppose, but he has since in that time, he's worked all kinds of other jobs. So, you know, they were just pick, they were like cherry picking parts of his past to, you know, to build up.
My thinking with this is, like you said, it's good publicity for the show. Do you think by doing the Golden Bachelor, it's a little softer on the drama, perhaps a little less. And I don't know what the ratings are like.
But maybe the ratings are incredible. Like they said that it was. It's such a complicated metric that I saw, but like on, it was one of their highest rated Bachelor Bachelorettes. Like. On Hulu, because it streams on Hulu. It was just some really weird metric, but it ranks very high. And I think that's part of the reason why ABC was sort of creating this character is because casting for this one had to have been hard. Because
you come with so much baggage when you get, I mean, honestly, when you get to your 30s, you already have plenty of baggage. I can't imagine when you get to your like 60s and 70s, you've got baggage and you've got stuff and you're very imperfect. And people want the perfectly imperfect on these TV shows. You can't be too perfect, but you can't have a lot of like some, like you can't ever admit to like having therapy or trauma, but you can't admit to working on yourself and working through your past. If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of interesting how we want to talk about stuff, but we don't want to talk about it. We want to hear it, but we don't want to hear it. And that comes from us, the viewers. It comes from also, you know, the networks and production companies too. It's like the chicken or the egg, you know, in my opinion.
Well, they also just, I mean, that's so hard to cast because you cast in reality, the main thing you want to have is this man likable? Like, is he somebody you want to root for? But at the same time, they're like, well, we don't want the audience to root for this guy in like a grandfatherly way. Like, oh, I hope he finds love. He's like a sweet grandpa. We want that. But if you were also an attractive man, that would also help. Because now the young people are like rooting for him in a, oh, I hope he finds love. But also like, yeah, that's a good looking man. And that would have been hard for ABC to cast.
In reality television, you still are looking for a leading man, leading woman type of energy. And especially like in dating shows too.
Like soap opera actors. Like soap opera actors can be older, but they have to be like handsome or pretty.
And I just mean
they still don't look normal.
It's one of these things where they need to be conventionally attractive people with some amount of charisma, usually, at least for men, tall women, you know, usually I would say in between probably 5'3" to like 5'6", you know, but also petite in the like slender sense. But have a charisma about them that carries them, that they know that they are not second best, that they are not the character actor here. And that's because there's a different energy. There are some people who have that leading man, leading woman type of energy, even just in real life. And then, you know, so like they talk, there's a lot of talk recently about main character energy. Truly, you can be the main character of your own. I am the main character of my own life, but I don't know if I necessarily bring leading woman energy to like, I wouldn't necessarily bring that to a dating show. I got a couple of friends that I know that if they got on a reality TV show, on a dating show like that, they would have it. Now I would have leading woman energy for a different type of like reality show. If it was like a house show or something like that, I could bring that shit. But but I also, I don't want to, cause I like myself too much. So, but also it's so hard to cast men in general, because men will not put themselves up for these shows. They don't want to do it. They're kind of scared. B, they have so many options, especially for a man at this age. Like they have so many options, and there's also so few of them that are alive too. So it's like to find one that's alive, that is single, is not taken, who is decent looking. Like maybe he would need some veneers or something like that, you know, but is general. It's very tough. So, you know, I think I think the main part is just really the trying to make him seem like a, the job thing isn't as big of a deal, but I think it really is the relationship stuff. It's like, I think you should have been able to say he's dated a little bit, but everybody wants the fantasy. Yeah. They want the and Bachelor and Bachelorette sells you a fantasy. And that's the yeah. job.
It's like a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. Ish. Ish. Have you seen SNLs?
With sex?
Yeah. That doesn't happen in Hallmark movies. You get one peck on the lips under the mistletoe in the gazebo in the Christmas candy cane town center. While the mayor, who's also the baker and the coffee shop owner, applauds.
Yeah, and they're all Ken dolls and Barbie dolls down there on Christmas movies.
Well. On that note, if you guys want to make our Hallmark Christmas dreams come true, you know how you could help? Rate, subscribe, review, and follow Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Also, of course, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where you can find Pretty Corrupt Podcast and our individual accounts. Make sure to share with Santa Claus, his mistress, the elves, their union organizer, whoever it might be, the North Pole Reckoning. And of course, we're two episodes, so this is PCP Pop Culture. If you haven't listened yet, make sure to head on over to PCP Bravo Breakdown. Till then, see you next episode. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.